Yes or no? Listeners support us. We're going to support listeners. We've given them the information, and now we're going to give them the tools and the support to make the changes. Eat healthy, be happy. 516-620-3602. Make that call right now.
Make that call right now. 9 minutes to the top of the hour. We can get another 50 people easily.
100 people. Esther has been here for you every morning at a really just ungodly hour to bring you some of the most insightful, informative, and just incredible news, guests, information every single morning. And I can't imagine turning on my radio and not hearing Wake Up Call and not hearing Esther's voice. The thought is just, it's not good. So make that pledge. Support this programming that you get here at WBAI and only at WBAI. 516-620-3602. You're going to make that pledge of $50 and you're going to register for Eat Healthy, Be Happy. That's 14 days of online support to improve your diet. This is an online program. You get 7 days of orientation. You're going to customize your eating healthy plan. It is incredibly flexible. We'll all be eating clean together. But if you want to tailor your plan, you can opt for vegan, paleo, an elimination diet. If you wanted to go gluten-free, get rid of allergens, implement a new protocol from your doctor, this is the time to do it. Eat healthy, be happy. You'll have that 7 days of orientation, 7 days of program, daily guidance and encouragement throughout, free resources online, recipes, food diaries, other tools, and giveaways, a chance to win healthy giveaways. Eat healthy, be happy, 516-620-3602. That's the number you're going to call now to register. And I want you to actually register now. I know some of you are thinking, I know I want to do this. I'm not sure. There might be some other things I'm interested in Fun Drive. Go ahead and register for this premium now. Sort out the rest of it later. This is going to be an incredible experience and a great opportunity to actually get the support that you need.
Absolutely.
The information that you need to make really incredible changes that are healthy and lasting. This is simple. This is flexible. This is accessible. This is something that you can do. I designed this so that somebody who is incredibly busy, doesn't have a lot of time, and doesn't have a lot of energy for this can sail through this program. Eat Healthy, Be Happy. That's 14 days of online support to improve your diet. 516-620-3602.
And don't you recognize how much you deserve this? When we think about the progressive community, the activist community, always in support of folks who are struggling with discrimination, with the kind of discriminatory practices, with injustice. And there are folks who are on the front line in that battle to secure justice for other folk. And so this is about you taking care of you, doing something that is about your own nutritional health. Because we know when you take care of your nutritional health, you're taking care of your emotional health, your spiritual health, your psychological health, as well as your physical health. February is also American Heart Month, and heart disease has become the leading cause of death in the United States of America. One in every four people who die are dying from heart disease or a related condition. And so much of it is preventable, related to the ways we eat or don't eat, because we're often not feeding our physical appetites, but we're feeding all kinds of other stuff around our emotion. And imagine an opportunity to kind of gain some equilibrium, some balance, but via some support, minus the judgment or the shaming that often goes on with what I call the nutrition fascists, who we don't have, thank the Lord. But make that call, 516-620-3602. When Natalie and I have been talking about this, and Natalie's been doing so much work in putting the premium together. We talked about it last month, so much of last month, and figuring out how, when do we go on air, when do we implement the plan, how long it's going to work for, the price that it's going to cost, etc., etc. And as Natalie has said, the two main points. One was to say thank you. Thank you to you, our listeners. It is because of you that we are not worried about these big industrial food complex giants, the big pharma, who is so focused, so worships at the altar of profit, that there is no care for nutrition. We don't have to worry about the kinds of privileging that happens with fresh food and healthy food. The prices, all kinds of folk, all the way out of the market. This is for you, every single one of you. But you need to make that call, you need to register, and then you have access. Eat healthy, be happy. We have literally 6 minutes to the top of the hour. You've been listening all this time thinking, wow, this sounds amazing. This sounds fantastic. I want to register. Now is the time. Call right now. If you're in Brooklyn, in the Bronx, in Manhattan, if you're in Long Island, in Hudson Valley, in Connecticut, in Newark, around New Jersey, make that call right now. You've been listening. You've heard the information. You've agreed that it's amazing. You accept that you deserve it. You know how hard you damn well work, and you're thinking, Absolutely. It is about time I had a premium that supports me, my lifestyle, my intention, my choices, and my opportunity. This is that premium. And in these last 3.5 minutes,
make that call. 516-620-3602. I'm so excited to work with all of you who are registering. And
right,
I just want to say, for the people who are thinking, I think I'm too busy, I designed this program for you. You know that internet meme with the woman who says, ain't nobody got time for that?
ain't nobody got time for that.
I designed it with that in mind. So I'm going to do all the work for you. I'm going to, every day, you're going to check in with me online, and you're going to get the information you need for that day, and your assignment for that day, and your inspiration for that day. And you're going to go ahead and do it. And then if you feel like checking back in with me later, you can do that. You don't have to. That's like 5 minutes maximum of your time that you need each day
to check in and get
your plan for the day in terms of what your work is. And then your own planning, maybe you could take another 5 minutes and jot it down in your phone or on your computer. Or if you're using paper and pen like I do with my planner, jot down what your plan is. And you're going to implement this into the things that you're already doing. You're already walking down the street and passing the grocery store.
Every day.
You're already online and can click and order groceries to be delivered to you.
Yeah.
So, and that's up to you. However you want to use your time and resources to implement your plan is fine. You can do all of this. You can have everything delivered to you. You don't have to make those huge time changes if you don't want to. Now, if you prefer to actually do things yourself, you can get out there and do them. But this is so simple. Mm. And remember, our daily activity requirement, so many of you are already exceeding it. All I say is every day, make sure you do 15 minutes or more of exercise.
Mm.
This is so simple. I just wanted to get everyone going through the actual motions of getting it on the road. And you'd be amazed when you just show up for something, so much can happen. Make that call, 516-620-3602. Join us. We're going to have an incredible time. Eat healthy, be happy, 14-day, two-part program. Jumpstart healthier eating habits. It's all online. You're going to get the support, the tools, the information you need to improve your diet. And it's incredibly flexible. We're going to eat clean together. That's plant-based eating, hydration, whole foods, free of refined, processed, synthetic ingredients. You're going to eat only when you're hungry. And it's flexible. If you want to do this vegan, you can. If you want to do it paleo, you can. If you want to do an elimination diet, you can. It's up to you. It depends on what you need. Eat healthy, be happy. 516-620-3602. I want you to pick up the phone. You're going to make a $50 pledge to WBAI. And in exchange, we're going to support you. And thanks for you supporting us. And you're going to be part of Eat Healthy, Be Happy, a 14-day, two-part program designed to jumpstart healthier eating habits.
Thank you.
516-620-3602.
Thank you so much. Natalie Tandaway in studio. We are about to get it on Nutrition Styly.
Get it.
Eat Healthy, Be Happy is all yours. You can still make that call. 516-620-3602.
This is your old friend Radio's Uncle Sydney. Well, it's fundraising time again, and like you, I can't help but notice how badly these things are crapping out. Geez, we've tried everything on you, rubes. Magic beans, tinfoil mind reading hats, even them special glasses that lets you see folks naked. Hell, we even told the truth a few times. No dice. I thought we was doomed. However, there's a solution. Yes, a solution. And it was right under our noses the whole time. Yes, moms and dads, girls and boys. Yes, from now on, as supplies last with every subscription to our beloved WBAI. That's WBAI.org. With every sub, we'll send you, yes, you, a liberally weighted nickel bag of genuine medical marijuana. Oh, yes, we've come into possession of a rather vast amount of this green and natural miracle weed, which, by the way, has been thoroughly tested by our staff. So if you want to support Radio WBAI and have your mind thoroughly blown, then call today and join the WBAI family. You'll be glad you did. This offer void where prohibited by law. The proceeding was a work of satire. Please don't arrest us.
The bell for freedom still rings. The bell for freedom still rings. Sorrow to me, but does it ring to know the bell of freedom still rings? The hammer for justice still pounds. The hammer for justice still pounds. Heavy is the beating sound of the hammer for justice that pounds. Stop and see. Babies still starve. We can't have the biggest heart if millions of babies still starve.
My name is Robert Knight, inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of the program Earthwatch. Tonight we will seek to fulfill the mission embedded in the name. This is Black History Month. I'm going to try to bring a little bit of a different or a novel approach to the subject tonight, because Black history is not about only nostalgia. It is not only about looking back and learning the valuable lessons of elders and ancestors. It is also about a terrestrial grasp of living in communities that may not even be visible to one another. And I'd like to bring into tonight's assessment a contemporary scientific view of the African, American, and Caribbean connections, because there is much afoot. There are great African migrations taking place, even as we speak, that have been increasing tenfold over the past few decades. And I'm not speaking about the Middle Passage, and I'm not speaking about the flux of immigration. I'm talking about something that is a more foreboding omen than we have previously been able to imagine. Until scientists of all hues and colors brought together the ability to do satellite mapping, the ability to look at the Earth from a speed of 20,000 miles an hour, tens of miles, hundreds of miles above the Earth, and at long last to see in soft focus the huge haboobs that originate in northern Africa, to see the dust and sandstorms from the Gobi Desert that make it across the Pacific to these climes, to look at the Saharan sand, wind, and dust storms that, like Thor Heyerdahl's papyrus boat, the Ra II, Thor Heyerdahl, you remember him as the great Danish explorer? Who was so much of an inspiration and kindred spirit with another great researcher, Professor Ivan van Sertima. They came before Columbus. Heyerdahl proved that the ocean currents follow the trade winds, and it is possible to sail from northern Africa to the Caribbean and to the eastern United States and South America. Well, there is a new phenomenon afoot, and we want to look at contemporary history involving Africa, the Caribbean, the Americas, Asia, and the rest of the world tonight on Earthwatch. And we're going to look at the consequences, previously unimaginable, of the great sandstorms that emanate from Africa and make their way here each day, and we'll look at the consequences of those. Because this is Earthwatch, and I guess you could say that tonight's program is all about a little dusting. I'm Robert Knight.
Blow, 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 blow.
This is Earthwatch on WBAI in New York, and my name is Robert Knight. Tonight, we're going to try bring something new to Black history in taking a comprehensive look at the latest and most significant African-American Caribbean connection, and that is the tremendous wave of dust storms that are traveling as did Tora Heyerdahl with the Ra II expedition along the trade currents that, or the Canary currents that come into the western part of North Africa and provide a means whereby sailors, ancient sailors, came from Africa to the Americas. But there's a new phenomenon because it appears that wind currents high above are also able to follow that route. And that's significant because northern Africa, they strip along the widest part in the north, the back of the skull up to the forehead, is rife with desertification. So much of that territory is being turned into a desert. So the syndrome continues extending over towards Iraq, about which we'll speak also. And there are two phenomena that cause dangerous things to happen. One of them is industrialization and the spread of SUVs. Yeah, even there. Four-wheel drive vehicles where reckless adventurers and military operations are driving all through the deserts and carrying away the lichens, the moss, the topsoil, even in a desert, that keeps the smaller particles, the dustier, lighter parts of the desert, safely at bay, safely embedded just below the surface of the earth. But with all these SUVs and wild drivers careening through the dunes, the more volatile interior part of the sands is released. And with thermal differentials, that means that the light dust and the pesticides in it and the fungi in it get drawn up. They get drawn up into a spontaneous sand, dust, and dirt tornado. They turn into a haboob. A haboob, as it's called in Arabic and Northern African regions. There are photographs of some of these haboobs that tower over the cities that are about to be doomed by it, with a darkness so great that you cannot see a flashlight in front of you. But it doesn't end there. The wind currents take it up higher, and they follow that Tor Heyerdahl route from Africa to the Caribbean. And as they travel, as these dust storms that are only recently able to be photographed by NASA travel, they represent a danger to Earth that can only be solved with an understanding of the Afro-Caribbean American connection and the good offices of scientists and environmentalists of goodwill of all cultures around this planet. And that's what we're learning tonight in Black History Month on Earthwatch on WBAI. My name is Robert Knight, and we'll be back with more details as we establish the case of the great sandstorms and the African invasion that is taking place on a microbial level. are listening to Earth Watch on WBAI New York. My name is Robert Knight, and topic tonight is a matter of just a little dust that is having unprecedented effects on the global ecosphere. There was a major report put forward on this a few months ago in August at the International Geographical Congress that took place in Scotland, where one of the key researchers in this field addressed not only the Asian sand and dust storms that travel eastbound to the western United States, and not only the dust devil storms that occur in Australia, but also the key contributor to millions of tons of particulates into the atmosphere. And this is because the Sahara Desert is being... How do you destroy a desert other than walking the hot sands while others are riding a horse with no names? There are now the SUVs, or as an Oxford University professor, Andrew Gowdy, calls it, the Toyotaization of the environment, who complains that you've got all these tourists and people who charge around and people who just love driving in deserts, all these SUVs, and they replace the camel for many people, and they're disturbing the surface and removing the fine grain structure of light life on the top of the desert that keeps the more volatile dust at bay. And 30 years of research, Professor or Dr. Gowdy has been doing, and since the 40s, there's been a tenfold increase globally of the African contribution to dust storms that roam the planet, that travel southwest from northern Africa to the Caribbean, to Barbados, to the United States. Well, for the short term, you know, there are recommendations that wires be put across the desert edges to block the vehicles, but not the animals. That's being tried in Namibia. But there's not only the automobile traffic through the dunes, but the artificial watering holes that cause a depletion of the surface and a release of airborne particulates for a radius that is about the amount of distance that a cow or a water buffalo can walk in a day. So, billions of tons of dust emanate from the Sahara and all across northern Africa. And they're seen in Greenland and then in the Caribbean. Problem is, this dust contains pesticides that have been blown around. This dust contains fungi and bacteria. And the fungi, over the past 10 to 20 years, have been associated with the destruction of coral reefs in places like Barbados. Much of this comes from the Bodeli Depression in Chad, where we're in a series of future programs going to be speaking with some British scientists who are en route there, about to leave, even as we speak, to get more specific measurements of this tide of dust that emanates and migrates from Africa. The desert is like an ocean underground with the perfect disguise above. And contained in it are rust, ferric particles, iron oxides, iron. And some of the African dust storms also travel northeastward and travel into Europe. And because of the characteristic bloody, rusty color of ferric compounds, it is why in recent years Europeans have been seeing increasing incidents of blood rain, they call it, where the snow turns pink and the rain takes on a decidedly rouge color. The crimson tide is another side effect of this. This not directly from the iron, but because it provides nutrients as it falls into the ocean along its way. From Fort Myers to Tampa, there are new outbreaks of the crimson tide. The phenomenon is perhaps one of the greatest dangers that the world faces, that along with the diminution of photosynthetically generated oxygen because of deforestation in northern South America. But Dr. Gowdy says that this cross-boundary nature of dust makes it a truly global issue and one that is not receiving the attention that it deserves. He said the importance of dust basins as a source of global dust is now being more widely understood, and the magnitude of the environmental consequences are just beginning to be identified. There's more. The microbial component of these dust storms that connect the Caribbean and the Americas and Africa in ways unimagined through nostalgia, but ways that can be implied from some of the African scholarship and international scholarship. I mentioned the synchrony between Van Sertima and Heyerdahl. And there is yet another component that has to do with the wars taking place now that also contribute to this phenomenon. We'll be speaking about that as well. But we are well past the days when dust storms, desertification, and the loss of natural water streams is an environmental hazard. We're looking at a global syndrome, a global process that will require a multidisciplinary, multicultural, and multinational effort to reverse, if it is even possible to reverse it at this point. One note you might wish to make is to visit the United Nations Commission on Desertification. It's one of the agencies of the UN. You can find it if you go to the website, un.org. This is Earthwatch on WBAI in New York. My name is Robert Knight, and we'll continue with more revelations on this order as we find out that the 1920s, 1930s, the early part of this century in the United States, the part that was so well written about in American literature, with the Dust Bowl, the Okies, you know, the Grapes of Wrath. What we are now seeing is that teacup being spilled over into the great big bowl of the world. And it's like what Woody Guthrie was talking about, but written even larger.
I just blowed in and I got them Dust Bowl blues. I just blowed in and I'll blow back out again. I guess you've heard about every kind of blues. I guess you've heard about every kind of blues. But when the dust gets high, you can't even see the sky. I've seen the dust so black that I couldn't see a thing. I've seen the dust so black that I couldn't see a thing. And the wind so cold, boy, it nearly cut your water off. I've seen the wind so high that it blowed my fences down. I've seen the wind so high that it blowed my fences down. Buried my tractor 6 feet underground.
You are listening to Earthwatch on WBAI New York. Robert Knight here. And we're looking at the real Afro-Caribbean American connection with the Saharan dust storms that find ourselves under their path and the irony of Caribbean Basin Initiative when dust basins are being created around the world. So I mentioned analogous phenomena are taking place in Asia and in Australia. But the overwhelming significance of the African sand and dust storms is inescapable. Research was done on the dry spell that began in the 1960s. You'll remember the Sahel drought that resulted in Barbados dust concentrations increasing by tremendous amounts during the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And that was statistically very clearly linked with the North African drought. And the components of this African export are believed to be the reason why coral reefs are diminishing, and the other consequences of these dust storms are that they change the chemical and biological relationships in the oceans and allow for plankton growth, which in turn can create a containment of heat through carbon dioxide emission, and which can in some areas of the world create even warmer and drier conditions that lead to further desertification. And the storms don't stop in the Caribbean. They don't stop there where we have seen, my goodness, people calling from out of town. We have seen the effects on the corals in the Caribbean, but the storms do not stop there. They continue southwestward into South America and into the United States. And in Miami, since the 1970s, the pattern of dust deposit is similar to what has been going on in the Caribbean. Same patterns that you see in Barbados, you're seeing in Miami. And you're seeing that all across the United States, everywhere east of the Mississippi. Some of it, no doubt, right here in New York City. You got trouble. Got African dust right here in New York City. But is it African dust? Is it only African dust? Is it American dust, too? We're going to get to that. We're going to talk about what the war is doing to contribute to this problem. Fine dust is associated with the African storms. And they are all over the Gulf of Mexico and the southern states and across the northeast United States and as far north as Maine. And the health impact among the items of the health consequences of this has been the increased amount of asthma attacks and exacerbated pneumonia that comes from these tiny particles that deposit themselves upon the surface of the lungs when they are breathed. Daily measurements over the past 7 years show that the concentrations of fungi and bacteria increase sharply with the concentration of dust. And this is why life in these United States is inseparable from the condition and the commonweal and the environment and the care and feeding and the non-exploitation of the people of Africa. The Virgin Islands, so-called U.S. Virgin Islands, are also rife with human pathogens and fungi and bacteria that are also a part of this echo stream from an abused Africa. In addition to Professor Andrew Gowdy, I would commend your attention to the work of Joseph Prospero, who is professor of atmospheric and marine chemistry at the Rosenstiel School of Marine and Atmospheric Science and also a contributor to the technical journal GeoTimes. And this is Earthwatch here on WBAI in New York. I'm Robert Knight. We'll be talking with you about this later on when we open up phone calls at 212-209-2900. But once again, we take a moment to contemplate the stream within which we are but dust.
And now the purple dusk of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're apart.
Earthwatch here on WBAI in New York. I'm Robert Knight, and we're looking at the latest African export, one of the most significant in geophysical terms, the great dust storms that find their way here. They are literally the chickens coming home to roost because of U.S. economic and military policies, because of the desertification of the region, because of the water extraction from the Tigris and Euphrates and the Bechtels. Deals privatizing water supplies of towns and changing the migratory patterns of nomads and creating further conditions with SUVs and four-wheel drives careening around like a car commercial through the Sahara Desert, adding to the fuel that flies here and creates asthma that kills the corals, that may even cause Caribbean communities to band together to try and minimize discussion of this, or to call for a truly global consortium for peace and justice to remove the military and transnational policies. that contribute to the increasingly arid zone as it is being commercially industrialized in northern Africa. This is the connection of black history that is living today that we explore tonight on Earthwatch. Once again, I recommend that you take a look at the United Nations Commission on Desertification, where you will find a good body of work. Also, I would recommend a book on the physics, mechanics, and processes of dust and sandstorms, edited or written primarily by Victor Squires, an international dry land consultant at Adelaide University in Australia. And here we bring our microscope even closer to the ground and look at some of the social issues and complications that accompany this global phenomenon. And in part, Squires writes that human aspects are related to both population pressure and land use technologies that are not sustainable. And they have not developed alongside the rapid population growth that's being witnessed in the third world, but whose negative effects hit the dry lands most. The best known of these land use technologies is the fallow system that in earlier times involved the resting of exhausted land long enough to allow fertility recovery through secondary revegetation. This original time span has been shortened and is almost non-existent now as a result of land pressure, especially in the African drylands. Clearing of vegetation, rapid abandonment of exhausted cropland, expansion of cropping into more and more marginal land set up a vicious cycle that is hard to break. As much as the inherent ecological fragility of the dry lands, coupled with your current droughts, increase the degree of susceptibility to human-related land degradation processes, so do the latter affect the impact of drought through the weakening of the resilience of the system and the ability to return to equilibrium. Devastating dust storms are a common symptom of the rapidly deteriorating ecological situation. Land degradation through loss of vegetation and soil cover contributes to global climate change by increasing land surface albedo. Remember albedo? That's what proportion of the influx of light is reflected by a body. Increasing the potential and decreasing the actual evapotranspiration rate, changing the ground surface energy budget and adjoining air temperature, and adding dust and carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. Specific impacts of land degradation on the natural resources base with direct effect on human populations include the following: the reduction of perennial and annual livestock forage in rangelands, the reduction of available fuel wood material, reduced biodiversity, reduced water availability due to a drop in the water table, sand encroachment on productive land, human settlements and infrastructure, increased flooding as a result of sedimentation of water bodies. One of the things I'll just inject parenthetically here is that the human phenomenon of opening up the inner lighter particles of the desert for these African storms has been the global warming, which is reducing the surface area of lakes around the world, and particularly in the northern African region. So the silt, which is also a fine particulate, gets drawn up into these sandstorms as well. And so you're going to have more than these walking fish that eat things popping up in New Jersey lakes, if you know what I mean. But continuing with the litany of consequences that are being enumerated by Professor Squires, you have increased flooding as a result of sedimentation of water bodies, the reductions of yield or crop failure in irrigated or rain-fed farmland. And it goes on to conclude that all of these factors may ultimately lead to disruption in various degrees of human life due to deteriorating life support systems that are expressed by: one, an increase in the spread of poverty and hunger due to loss of land resources and consequent inability to provide sufficient food and shelter to growing populations, leading to a reduction in the nutritional and in the health status of the affected populations, especially the young and elderly. Number two, the migration in search of relief and refuge as a result of economic and political stress, as populations struggle to survive the diminished water and land resources. And three, an influx of environmental refugees that puts enormous pressure on the physical environment, economy, and stability of societies, of nations in the immediate neighborhood, often exacerbating political differences and, in some cases, civil strife. Now you look at the migratory patterns in Africa. You look at Darfur. You look at Sudan. You look at where people are forced to move, and then the tribal and cultural conflicts that occur with the forced relocation of populations. And you see that the dust storms of Africa are but an omen of what we have been pursuing in policy. And there's one other item I'd like to introduce into the record, and that is, ever since World War II, we mentioned that the deserts of northern Africa have been trampled by military machines and now more recently, dumbass SUVs. And, fun-romping four-wheel drives that tear up the surface of the desert. But there is something else, even bigger, and that is the desert chaos released by two American wars in Iraq. Remember, they called it Desert Storm? Look at all those missiles and explosions and the tanks and the supply trails that went all over Iraq. Look at how environmentalists there are now alarmed at the creeping migration of sand onto the highways, the increasing number of haboobs and the sandstorms that are seen outside Baghdad. So the increased fuel for sandstorms that circulate the planet, the fuel is also being increased by the effects on the environment of George Bush's dumbass war in Iraq. There is a human tragedy as well as an earth mangling taking place there. And this is Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight. On Earthwide Black History Special tonight, looking at it from a different, non-nostalgic direction, looking at the actual ongoing African wind and dust storms that are changing the face of this planet. And we have attempted to synthesize, to integrate the conditions that are driven by military and corporate policies and tribal policies in the north of Africa and the Saharan region. We've looked at the connection between Africa and the Caribbean with the transport of fungi killing the coral reefs in Barbados, Virgin Islands, and the red crimson tides that erupt in Florida as a result of these storms. We've looked at the morphology and the etiology of it with great homage to people like Andrew Gowdy, to people like Thor Heyerdahl, the great Danish explorer, Ivan van Sertermans, the great African researcher. We've looked at it from the point of view of the Yokis, who were part of an unwilling, smaller experiment in this during the beginning of this century. And it is inescapable to me how anyone can conceive during this month of Black History that the solution of African problems is simply a matter for African people. And that it's going to take a multinational, multicolor, multicultural, multilingual, interdisciplinary, ethical, economic, counter-military, agape among peoples to save the planet for all of us. And that, to me, with a new scientific look at it, is kind of what might could be important if we were to have a Black History Month, an African American History Month. No people is inseparable from another. And I hope least of all on this radio station, WBAI, where the song we began the program with, we can now understand to have been heard without color or concern for the author, but only the love of the meaning. Because when Stevie Wonder sang this, he wasn't seeing colors. He was hearing love. You know the original.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Isn't how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many years can a mountain exist? It is washed to the sea. Yes, and how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? Yes, and how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
You're listening to Earthwatch on WBAI New York. Quite a bit of data we've shared so far. There are signs of hope. Certainly there are some British universities, Australian and African study groups that are engaged in looking at the dust bowls in Chad and throughout the Sahara to get a further handle on a relatively recently apprehended syndrome of the killer dust storms that emanate from Northern Africa. There are others in the world. Australia, Gobi Desert in Asia. But this is the key one, contributing billions of tons of tiny particles of dust that cause asthma attacks and pneumonia exacerbation that could, if unsolved, diminish the appeal of the Caribbean as a vacation place, that could cause disruptions in the oceanic ecology. And there are leaders like in Namibia and South Africa that are moving forward with environmental protection regimes to minimize further spreading of desertification. So whether it be from a Danish explorer named Heyerdahl, a British professor named Gowdy, an African leader named Nyong'o or Mandela or Mbeki, right down to the NOAA, NASA, USGS, the United Nations Commission on Desertification, World Health, UNICEF, UNESCO. There are people of all cultures and hues who are trying to think as members of a single planet. There are some people, when they hear a brother, thinking globally. They call it fear. And that's not my understanding of African wisdom during this African-American History Month here on WBAI New York. But then again, I'm Robert Knight, and you're tuned to WBAI New York 99.5 on your FM dial and WBAI.org on the web. And we will take your phone calls. I'd like for you to be contemplative as Earth people tonight and try and enhance our wisdom in accommodating this startling phenomenon that unites all of the continents and all of their cultures.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. Change. We all are part of God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love is all.
This is Earthwatch on WBAI in New York. My name is Robert Knight, and you may also be listening on the web at WBAI.org. And we are looking at two critical processes on this planet Earth tonight. One of them, about which we'll speak in further detail, is the highly unrecognized and highly significant phenomenon of dust storms from Africa that are blanketing the entire planet, bringing fungi, bringing industrial pollutants, pesticides, like chickens, home to roost in the most industrialized parts of the world. And we will also be speaking further about the Kyoto Protocol, which came into force as of this 16th of February 2005. And we heard a representative assembling of three people from the celebration that took place today in Kyoto, Japan. We heard from a Japanese man, a European woman, and an African woman, symbolizing perhaps the need for people of all cultures and locations to come together to address the consequences of a half century of industrial policies that literally are bringing the poisons of economic and land use policy right back home to roost in this and other parts of the world. There is no way to address or solve this problem without a binding of humanity that is as yet unprecedented and is as necessary as it is rare. With the speakers that we heard a little bit earlier on in the program were Hiroshi Takano, the Senior Vice Minister of the Environment of the nation of Japan, speaking in the Kyoto Prefecture. We also heard Yoke Waller-Hunter, the Executive Secretary for the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, and the Kenyan Deputy Environment Minister and 2004 Nobel Peace Laureate, Wangari Maathai. And this is Earthwatch, and in about 2 minutes from now, we will be delving more deeply into the massive phenomenon of African dust and sandstorms and their consequences. But I'd like to just share with those who have online access a very useful tool to see in real time the extent to which the karmic wind of Africa is coming home to other parts of the planet. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration has a website, and it is the Total Ozone Mapping Spectrometer website. The web address is simple and easy to get to. It is as follows: toms.gsfc.nasa.gov. toms.gsfc.nasa.gov. And that will bring you to a website that has a real-time map of what is called the aerosol index. It is a satellite-derived image of the entire planet Earth that shows in highlighted colors where the greatest amounts of aerosols, or dust and sandstorms and fungi and bacteria and pollutants, are moving across the world. There is, as ever, a southern hemisphere component of that, much of that sand and dust generated in Australia. You can see that on the map, as well as a strip of countries, Mauritania, Mali, Nigeria, Chad, where there is even now the generation of major dust storms. As we move deeper into the spring, as we head towards April, May, and June, we will see the size, the magnitude, and the transport of these dust storms that move westward from the back of the skull of Africa to the Caribbean and Central America, and then they hook up north, and they hit Florida and move all the way up the northeast coast. This, in addition to the Gobi Desert and Asian sandstorms that are also sweeping the planet. But if you go to the website, toms.gsfc, that's Total Ozone Mapping Spectrometer for the Goddard Space Flight Center at NASA.gov, toms.gsfc.nasa.gov, you can actually click on the tab that says aerosols, and you can pull up a picture of the dust storm activity from Africa and elsewhere, and see in real time or in archived time just what is going on and how serious this problem is and where it is hitting. And we're going to talk about that right after this here on Earthwatch. This is Earthwatch on WBAI in New York. My name is Robert Knight, and we're looking at contemporary crises in Africa and about the entire world. And the focus tonight is once again on a story we began breaking last week about the growing recognition of the significance of Saharan and African dust storms on the ecology of the planet, from everything from melting the glaciers as the iron-bound dust and sand settles, causing melting and rising of ocean levels, causing coral death in the Caribbean, asthma in Florida, and many other consequences. We spoke about this improvisationally last week. Just a few facts to bring you up to date. There are billions of tons of dust that are swept into the atmosphere from places including the Sahara region, including the Gobi Desert, including the central parts of Australia. And a typical dust storm can carry tens or even hundreds of millions of tons of sand and dust, the finer grained materials that come from the sediment of dried out lakes and seas, irrigation basins where the pesticides of land use are now exposed after having been drained into the rivers and other bodies of water. Of the African dust that continually circulates this planet, more than half of it is received in the state of Florida, where there has been, over the past several decades, a correlation with outbreaks of asthma and the timing of the African dust storms. Mauritania in the 1960s had only two such storms a year, but because of land use policy, of corporate policy, multinational policy, now they have 80 a year. In a decade and a half or two decades, it went up by a factor of 40. That's typical of what is only now beginning to be discovered with the use of satellites and other technology. Back in 1903, Britain had a major dust storm where 10 million tons was deposited from the Sahara. I'd like to present for your consideration a review of this issue published by The Guardian, which reads as follows. Paul Brown, reminding me of Noel Brown over at the formerly of the United Nations Environment Program, Well, Paul Brown in London wrote the following piece, which I think concisely summarizes the issues that we think are of utmost importance here. Dust storms emanating from the Sahara have increased tenfold in 50 years, contributing to climate change as well as the threat of human health and destroying coral reefs thousands of miles away. And one major cause is the replacement of the camel by four-wheel drive vehicles as the desert vehicle of choice. Andrew Gowdy, professor of geography at Oxford University, blames the process of Toyotaization, a coinage reflecting the near ubiquitous desert use of Toyota Land Cruisers, for destroying a thin crust of lichen and stones that has protected vast areas of the Sahara from the wind for centuries. Four-wheel drive use, along with overgrazing and deforestation, were the major causes of the world's growing dust storm problem, the scale of which was much bigger than previously realized. Professor Gowdy, a master of St. Cross College, recently addressed the International Geographical Congress in Glasgow. He said, quote, "I am quite serious. You should look at deserts from the air, scarred all over by wheel tracks. People driving indiscriminately over the surface, breaking it up. Toyotaization is a major cause of dust storms. If I had my way, I would ban them from driving off-road. The problem has become so serious that an estimated 2 to 3 billion tons of dust is carried away on the wind each year. Storms in the Sahara transport dust high into the atmosphere and deposit it as far away as Greenland and the United States. Britain was seeing increasing levels of blood rain in spring that came direct from the Sahara. Professor Gowdy said that from an aircraft over the Alps in summer, it's possible to see the telltale color of red dust on the mountains of the Alps, that from the dust and sand of Africa. Although the storms are mainly particles of quartz, smaller than grains of sand, they also contain salt and quantities of pesticide and herbicide, which can cause serious health problems. Microbe-laden dust from the storms is also credited with carrying cattle diseases such as foot and mouth disease. The world's largest single dust source is the Bodele Depression in Chad. Between an ever-shrinking Lake Chad, which is now 1/20th of the size that it was in the 1960s, you had a dollar, now you got a nickel, as well as the Sahara. The depression releases 1,270 million tons of dust a year. That's 1.5 billion tons, 10 times more than when measurements first began in 1947. African dust is a major problem, taking the whole Sahara and the Sahel to the south. Dust volumes increased 4 to 6-fold since the 1960s. The worst affected countries included Niger, Chad, Northern Nigeria, Burkina Faso, and Mauritania. But the effects go far beyond. In the Caribbean, scientists have directly linked the death of coral reefs to smothering by dust which traveled 3,000 miles. African dust also found its way to Greenland, Professor Gowdy said. While white ice reflected sunlight and remains frozen, the dark dust on top absorbs the sun's heat, causing the ice to melt and accelerating the rising of sea levels. Professor Gowdy said it was as yet uncertain what other effects the dust is having on the climate. The airborne dust both reflected sunlight back into space and blanketed the earth, holding the heat in. When it dropped in the sea, it fertilized the plankton, which absorbed carbon dioxide and cooled the ocean surface, creating fewer clouds and less rain, a vicious circle which made the dust problem worse. When the dust source was the dried-up bed of a salt lake or a sea, salt deposited from the storms could ruin agricultural land, leading to more deserts and more dust. There might be more serious consequences for human health emerging elsewhere in the world. The Aral Sea in Central Asia had almost dried up, according to the research. Its inflowing rivers were used for irrigating cotton, causing the seabed to be contaminated by pesticide toxins, which are now being blown about with the dust. People who've breathed in the dust have serious allergic reactions. Professor Gowdy also warned that climate change might cause dust problems to return to the U.S. prairies. Remember the Okies? While improved agricultural practices, windbreaks, and higher rainfall had cured the Dust Bowl of the 1930s, immortalized in Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath, the conditions are once again similar. Dust storms are now common in the U.S. and could lead to a disease, valley fever, an allergic reaction to pesticides in the dust, which caused inflammation of the nose and throat, killing several people per year. And in China, extensive efforts have been made to plant trees to hold back the dust, and increases in rainfall have also helped. However, large dust storms are still emanating from the vast deserts in the north, which included the Lop Nor nuclear test site. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Raising fears that the storms could interfere with the 2008 Olympics in Beijing and might contain radioactive particles. The Chinese have said that they're confident this would not happen. This is Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight. And just one addendum not mentioned in this article from The Guardian by Paul Brown is that one of the most recent discoveries, and these discoveries are breaking virtually every day, is they thought that having these fine granules of dust in the air would precipitate more rain. You know how the little molecules of water would gather around, you know, hit on the dust granule and accumulate mass, accrete into a sufficient mass to be a raindrop? Well, brother, it ain't happening. It turns out that when water meets water, it accumulates better than when it does on the grains of sand. So these dust storms can also have the effect of reducing rainfall, increasing drought, increasing the desertification of territories. The continent of Africa is the most important place on this earth today. This is Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight.
Well, it slips away, and all your money won't another minute buy. Dust in the wind, all we are is dust in the wind.
Dust in the wind,
dust in the wind.
Dust in the wind.
Everything is dust in the wind. In the wind.
Dust in the wind, indeed. This is Earthwatch Transterrestrial Radio. My name is Robert Knight, and you're tuned to WBAI in New York and elsewhere. There's also dust in the galactic wind, and just as a further environmental thought about these issues, before we take your calls at 212-209-2900, I've been very much taken by the things we're learning currently. The impermanence of the continents, the fluidity of solid Earth as it circulates this planet with constant dangers and renewal of environmental conditions and the return of poisons. And there is also interplanetary dust. Nodules from the moon sometimes splash down to Earth when that body is hit. The asteroids and other particles within the solar system interact with the planet Earth. But I never thought you would imagine that we may also be victims of dust in the galactic wind, dust in the solar wind. The New Scientist is reporting that the sun's shifting magnetic field is set to focus a decade-long storm of galactic dust grains towards the inner solar system, including Earth. The effect this will have on the planet is unknown, but some researchers have speculated that sustained periods of cosmic dust bombardment might be related to ice ages and even mass extinctions. Over the last decade, the magnetic field of the sun acted like a shield, deflecting the electrically charged galactic dust away from the solar system. But with the solar peak of 2001 and the completion of yet another heliomagnetic cycle of 22 years, where the poles reverse, the magnetic field flipped over, so the South Pole became the North and North became the South, and that means that the solar magnetic field will actually be channeling this charged galactic dust.
Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a weekly program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, imagination, and bacon. My name is Jim Freund. With me this morning, John Ordover, a proprietor, entrepreneur, editor, an interesting idea person. Stay tuned. Thank you. good morning. Okay, well, shouldn't surprise anybody that my engineering was it exemplary before? Not necessarily, but here in our new Harlem studios, not New Harlem, but our new studios in Harlem, I know nothing about the equipment, so people will have to bear with me to an extent. But last week, Terrence Taylor and I just sort of like let loose talking about anything and everything and apparently all at the same time. So this week we are trying a different layout. Actually, I will probably post some pictures on Twitter or something like that so that people can see sort of, well, just what it is that we are dealing here. We are sharing space with another radio station, WHCR, which is, I don't know if it's Harlem College. I mean, we're in CCNY. We're like in the bowels. And boy, do I mean the bowels of this huge, monstrous building in CCNY. And it's a very, very strange experience. One gets the feeling that, you know, we are our existence, the existence of WBAI and possibly perhaps Pacifica Radio is dangling by a thread. And there seems to be official acknowledgement of this. But we will try to persevere. We will try to continue doing what it is that we do here that is oh so valuable. And while we are in the middle of a fund drive, we are not doing a fundraising on the overnights. So let me recommend that you go to the WBAI website, WBAI.org, as in we beg at intervals, except it's more like we beg always incessantly, but that's not a good phrase. We're boring and insolent. That's another favorite WBAI catch-all phrase, WBAI.org. And pledge money. And when you do it, you can name your favorite show. I know my favorite show is Hour of the Wolf. What's yours? Anyway. So, let's see. Announcements. Okay, this show is nothing but announcements. I have a big event on Wednesday to promote. John Ordover, my guest, has 1 3-day event. And as proprietor of the Soho Gallery for Digital Art, one of them is one that he's producing as a benefit for, is it autistic schools, autistic children?
Autistic children.
Okay, it's one specific school.
Yes.
Okay, the one in which your son is.
In which my son is enrolled.
Enrolled, I guess. So it's a benefit for that, and with that is this rather cool anthology, the Baconthology. Well, we'll talk more about that. You're going, by the time this show is over, you're going to have trafe coming out of your ears, okay? Bacon, 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 and it's not bacon, it's bacon strips. I've used that way too often.
And at the event itself, which we'll discuss later, it will be real bacon.
Yes. Well, okay, but we'll discuss that later.
Yes.
So let's see. I'm trying to think. Are there other things right now that need to be mentioned? No, we're a few weeks, we're about a month away from Doctor Who coming back. On March 8th, Oz the Great and Will Disney Survive will break. I have a feeling it'll do okay, whether it's a really good film or not, for one reason and one reason alone, and it's not James Franco. It's that it's directed by Sam Raimi.
Yes.
And the fact that it's being directed by Sam Raimi means it's not going to be just boring. And should have an edge to it. Whether Disney allows an edge, we'll see.
It's based on...
Lift your mic a little.
Lift my mic a little?
Yeah.
Let's see if it lifts.
Yeah, that's better.
It's actually based on real bomb storylines.
Okay.
I can never remember whether it's Dorothy and the Wizard in Oz or The Road to Oz or which of the books
it's
it
not,
is.
It's not Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, because I believe by that time he is already the wizard.
There is one of the books. I mean, there is no book that tells the entire story.
Right. At least not the arc of Oz himself.
Right. But he does actually tell his backstory, much like in the books. The backstory is not actually sung in the books for fairly obvious reasons. But they basically say to the wizard in the book, how did you wind up here? And he tells the story of that. I don't want to do any spoilers, but he tells the story of how he wound up there.
What spoilers are there? It's in the commercial. He's basically a mountebank.
Yes.
To put a good word on it.
Yes.
He finds his way to Oz in a different manner than Dorothy, but he's from Earth.
Right.
And he finds his way to Oz, and over time he becomes the great wizard, and this is sort of his origin story.
Basically. Although I would argue that Oz is, in fact, part of Earth, because all you have to do to get there is find a way to cross the Deadly Desert.
Yeah, I think I'm not... I'm trying to...